Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Curse of Cash is a nonfiction economics book by Kenneth S. Rogoff that examines the role of physical currency in modern economies, with special attention to large denomination bills such as the US $100 note. Rogoff argues that cash is not just a neutral medium of exchange, it also facilitates tax evasion, corruption, organized crime, drug trafficking, and other hidden transactions that operate outside formal oversight. At the same time, he contends that the existence of paper money limits the ability of central banks to use deeply negative interest rates in severe downturns, because people can shift into cash instead of holding deposits. The book therefore combines public finance, monetary theory, and policy design. Rather than simply criticizing currency, Rogoff asks how societies could gradually reduce dependence on paper money while protecting privacy, financial access, and stability. The result is a policy-oriented argument about the future of cash, digital payments, and central banking. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why large denomination cash is central to underground economic activity. Rogoff's starting point is that the biggest policy problem is not small everyday bills, but large denomination notes that are easy to store, transport, and conceal. In his view, these bills are disproportionately useful for transactions that participants want to keep hidden from tax authorities, regulators, or law enforcement. That includes bribery, narcotic sales, human trafficking, and other forms of illicit commerce. The argument is not that all cash is criminal, but that the larger notes create an efficient tool for repeated anonymous exchange at scale. This matters because the social costs of hidden activity are not limited to the crimes themselves. They also weaken tax collection, distort competition for law-abiding firms, and make financial oversight less effective. Rogoff's focus on denomination size gives the book a practical policy angle. He is not calling for an end to every coin and note, but for reducing the cash instruments that most strongly support illicit large value transactions. Secondly, cash as a limit on interest rate policy at the zero lower bound. A second major theme is monetary policy. Rogoff argues that paper currency creates a floor under interest rates because depositors can always withdraw cash if bank rates become too negative. This makes it difficult for central banks to impose deeply negative rates during recessions or deflationary periods, even when such rates might help stimulate spending and investment. The zero lower bound therefore becomes more than a technical issue. It can trap policymakers in weak recovery conditions when conventional rate cuts are exhausted. Rogoff treats this as a structural constraint on modern macroeconomics rather than a temporary quirk. His broader point is that the same physical feature that makes cash useful in everyday life also makes it a barrier to more flexible stabilization policy. The book uses this argument to connect currency design with the real economy, showing how the form money takes can shape the range of tools available to central banks. Thirdly, phasing out paper money without eliminating basic access to currency, Rogoff does not recommend an abrupt abolition of all cash. Instead, he proposes a gradual reduction in paper money, especially high-value bills, while preserving low-denomination notes and coins for ordinary small purchases. This staged approach is designed to limit disruption and give households, firms, and institutions time to adapt. A central part of the proposal is that the transition should be slow enough to avoid shock and predictable enough for payment systems to evolve. Rogoff also recognizes that cash is not only used by criminals. It still matters for routine commerce, budgeting, and privacy. For that reason, his reform plan is framed as a controlled shift rather than a sudden ban. The key policy challenge is to separate the functions of cash that are socially useful from the functions that are most harmful. That balance is one of the book's defining features and helps distinguish it from more one-sided arguments about digital payments or anti-cash regulation. Fourthly, privacy, inclusion, and the costs of replacing cash with digital payments. One of the most important tensions in the book is between the benefits of reducing cash and the risks of moving too quickly toward a fully digital payment system. Rogoff acknowledges that cash offers privacy, convenience, and autonomy, especially for small transactions. He also recognizes that not everyone has equal access to bank accounts, cards, or digital devices. For that reason, he argues that any move away from paper money must include free basic debit accounts or equivalent access for poor and unbanked people. This is not a side issue, but a core condition for making currency reform politically and socially viable. The book therefore links monetary policy to financial inclusion. Rogoff's framework suggests that a cashless transition should not simply serve governments or banks. It should also preserve practical access for people who rely on physical currency because they are outside the mainstream financial system. This makes the proposal more nuanced than a simple call for modernization. Lastly, digital currency, government control, and the future shape of money, beyond paper money itself. Rogoff uses the book to think about the future of currency in a world moving toward digital payments and cryptocurrencies. He argues that private cryptocurrencies are unlikely to become the main form of money, and that governments will ultimately dominate the architecture of digital currency. This view reflects his broader belief that currency is too important to be left entirely outside public regulation. He sees the long-run evolution of money as a sequence in which private innovation is often followed by state control and standardization. That historical perspective allows him to connect old forms of money with new ones, showing that the core policy questions remain the same: who issues money, who regulates it, and how much anonymity should it allow. The book is therefore not just about cash withdrawal. It is also about how digital systems may extend state oversight and reshape the relationship between payments, enforcement, and monetary sovereignty. In conclusion, The Curse of Cash is best suited for readers interested in economics, public policy, central banking, taxation, and the future of payments. Policymakers and financial professionals will find its arguments especially relevant because Rogoff is not merely describing a trend. He is proposing a specific regulatory direction and explaining why it matters for crime control, tax enforcement, and macroeconomic management. General readers with an interest in how money works will also benefit from the book's clear connection between everyday currency and large-scale economic institutions. What makes it stand out in its category is its combination of high-level monetary theory with a concrete policy target reducing large denomination cash. Many books about money focus either on history, technology, or banking systems, but Rogoff brings those threads together around a single controversial thesis. The book is also notable for treating digital money, negative interest rates, and financial inclusion as part of the same policy debate. Even readers who disagree with its conclusions will gain a sharper understanding of why cash remains economically and politically significant. If you would like to support Kenneth S. Rogoff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.